Today's daf is Eiruvin, daf Lamed Aleph. As we continue in the third parak, Bakol Ma'arvin, issues of Eiruv Tchumin and where one is allowed to put the Eiruv and what one is allowed to put as the Eiruv. So yesterday we discussed different issues of the what, as we'll continue, and we get a little bit at the end of the Mishnah, it had the where. We spoke about it could be Machlokas Tanoim, whether one has to be roi to eat the food that one puts out. Does it have to be right for somebody else? Is that not good enough? Because it has to maybe, according to Beis Shammai, Hananya, if you remember, it has to be all of your possessions have to be put out there. So there are many different opinions, four opinions in the Tanaim that we mentioned, how much it has to be related to me, which is all important in terms of the lumdus of Eruv Tchumen. Says the Gemara now, we're on Lamed Amud Beis by the two dots. Ula Kohen Beveis HaPras. The Mishnah had said that for a Kohen, one is allowed to put the Eiruv in the Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras, if you remember, is a rabbinically Tamei area. Area where a kever, with a couple of types of Beis HaPras, the Mishnah is described in Ahalas, but the one that is on the discussion now, the most commonly referred to one, is where there was a kever somewhere in here, but the area was plowed over. And now, the kever is not there, and even if the kever, there are pieces there of a bone, but as we know, a bone the size of a barley seed is only metame b'magu b'masa, but not b'ohel. It's not if I go over it, only if I touch it, or if I move it. So, is that that's a rabbinical area that's tame. Why? Because if I walk over it, I'm not tame. And maybe if I walk in, I might touch it, I might not touch it. So Rabbanan, where goes your tumah on the area of a Beis HaPras? So, a Kohen who wants to set an Eruv Tchum, and he puts the Eruv in the Beis HaPras, that works. Why? Because there is a way that it is still accessible for him. Damar Yehuda, Damar Shmuel, Minafeach Adam Beis HaPras V'holech. A person can go into the Beis HaPras and go closely to the floor and blow and look around, and as long as he doesn't see any bones, he'll be able to enter in and walk there, because he won't be touching anything. And we're not worried about anything under the ground and of Oel, because a Halacha Moshe Misina tells us that an Etzem Kisora is Namatami Ba'Oel. So that's why there is accessibility for a Kohen. Rav Yehuda Bar Ami Mishved Rav Yehuda Amar, one added Halacha, Beis HaPras Shenidash Tohar. If a Beis HaPras is totally trampled by people over and over again for an extended period of time, so that's Tohar anyway, because forget the blowing, if there was any type of bone, we assume it's either got stuck into the ground from all the trampling, or it was broken to a size less than a seora, the size of a barley seed. So either way, a Beis HaPras that was nidash, that was trampled with drisas ragli b'nei adam, is tahar. So that's in a Beis HaPras, which is only a rabbinically tame area. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af Beis HaKfaras. So if you remember Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of our parak, back on Chavav Amid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda says, even a Beis HaKfaras, even in a cemetery, a Kohen is able to put his Eruv. Why? The language of the Mishnah was, "Bnei sheyachol lachutz v'leilech v'le'echol." He's able to go there. How is he able to go there? So the Brisa repeats again the language of the Mishnah. Maybe this Brisa didn't have it just adds a few words. "Bnei sheyachol lachutz v'leilech b'shida teva umegdol." Because he's able to go in a box, in a tower, some type of chatzitza, some type of hefsek. If a Kohen walks there directly, obviously he's become stame. But if he goes in a type of box or other enclosed area, so that he wouldn't be become tame, and pashtus, there wouldn't be any isser for him to do that. And therefore, he is allowed, that is considered an accessible eruv. And in that way, he is able to be Yotze. So Kasavar, says the Gemara, what is the Svara of Rabbi Yehuda who allows this? Kasavar, Ohel Zaruk Shmei Ohel. An Ohel that literally is thrown. A movable Ohel. An Ohel that is not. We think of an Ohel, we think of it as a house. We think of it as a sukkah. An Ohel Zaruk, a movable Ohel, Shmei Ohel. It must be considered a halachic Ohel, and therefore it is considered a hefsik. It would allow a Kohen to go into a Beis HaKfaras, and that is why the Eruv would be good. And this machlok is in our Mishnah. The Rabbanan, the Tanakama, which only allows you to go a Kohen to put his Eruv in the Beis HaPras, not to put his Eruv in a real cemetery. And and Rabbi Yehuda, who allows it, so they would argue about this major issue. Ubepukta dani tanoi de tanya hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shita tevo migdol. Somebody goes into Eretz Ha'amim. We mentioned the Rabbanan were gozer tuma on all chutz la'aretz. All chutz la'aretz is tamei midir Rabbanan. We mentioned, I think, a couple of months ago, last year sometime, is there any, if let's say an organization has to raise money in chutz la'aretz, so is there any lachachila not to send a kohen because of the tumas Eretz Ha'amim? We spoke of the Chashukei Chem and discussed that last year at some point. So the Brisa is referring to that tumah. Nichlas Eretz Ha'amim, b'shita tevil migdal. If you go in a box or some type of container, Rebbe Mitame, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda Mitare. So it's a machlokas. What's the machlokas about? But my kamiflagi, Mar Savar Ohel Zaruk Lav Shmei Ohel. According to the opinion that says that they're not allowed to go in, they become Tamei because Lav Shmei Ohel. In this container, it's an Ohel Zaruk. It's large enough to be an Ohel, but it's a movable Ohel, and therefore it's not a protective halachic measure, and therefore a person is still tame if he goes out. Umar Sover also a Shmei Ohel, and the other opinion says no, it is an Ohel even though it is moving, and therefore one is tar, even if they go into Eretz Ha'amim. There is a machlokas we've shown him here between Tosfos and the Rashba. Tosfos says on the bottom, Dafke Kishemuna Chave Ohel. The only time that the manda amar that says it's a chash of ohel, even though it's an ohel zarek, is only at the moment that it's not moving. When it's moving, then everybody would agree it's not a good ohel. Aval b'sha'az zrika, filo rabbi yazir, b'yehuda metame, t'b'os ha'sholo, chash of ohel klal, when it's moving. Midi tahavi ha'of pareach, like a bird. Ooh. V'itlis atalis ha'menaf nefes, or something that's blowing in the wind. And then Tosfos continued to discuss Mishnayos and Maseches Para. Remember the Mishnayos, how they used to bring the children that they kept in a totally tahar area in order to come to do the avodah, the Para Duma. They used to put these doors on top of large oxen and put the children on top of the doors so that if there was any tumah underneath, the doors would be mafsik anyway. So Tosfos asked, but what do you mean? If it's an all zaruk and it's moving, it's not going to help anyway. So maybe they just brought really fat oxen, that the oxen themselves were considered the ohel. That's Tosfos' discussion. If you look in the Rashba argues on Tosfos. So I don't know what you're talking about. The whole principle of always zaruk is when it's moving. When it's not moving, it's not zaruk. So Tosfos says the opposite. When it's not moving, everybody would agree that it's an ohel. The machlokas is when it's moving. Machlokas is when it's zaruk. So it's machlokas. Tosfos and the Rashba, how to understand the machlokas of ohel zaruk. Important discussion for, we've quoted this article from Rav Schechter in the past, in Bikvi Atzon Simon Lamed Hey, one of the issues being Kohanim going on airplanes. Airplanes. Two issues. Number one, what if there is an Aron on the airplane? What is there on it? There's a very high percentage of El Al airplanes that have Aronos on it. Very high percentage. Right? No, nobody, we don't usually ask. But if there's a very high percentage, that's number one issue. But the number two issue is what about the Kfaris on the ground that the plane goes over? So is there any issue regarding that? What type of metal is the plane made of? Is there a tefach in between? There are many different issues that are related. So says the Rav Schechter in Simon Lamed Hey in Bikvi Atzon discusses this, and he quotes some of the earlier opinions. He quotes Rav Moshe's Chiddush about aluminum, maybe aluminum. The Torah lists off the six metals, and anything that's not here obviously is not a metal, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about all the metals in the world, and he didn't write it, unless you say aluminum is included in the other categories. But in that article, Rav Schechter, based on a Tosfos on Daf Mem Hey, which Beis Hashem will get to in a couple of weeks, he quotes that there could be an idea when it comes to Kohanim, Tumas Kohanim, that the Isser, the root Isser, and he quotes this from other Achronim, the root Isser is Hiskarvus L'Tumas Meis. Even if there isn't Tumas Meis per se, but just being in the vicinity of Tumas Meis might be the root problem of Tumas Kohanim. Maybe not the full Isser. Maybe not, you're not going to get Malkus unless you're Mamish Metame yourself. But there are hints in Halacha to an idea of a Hiskarvus Latuma being the problem and not Tuma per se. Where do we have this? He quotes this from a couple of examples. Let's say the quotes, besides the airplane example, he quotes for a Goses. For a ghost, the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that a Kohen is usher to go into a house where there is a ghost, somebody who is about to die. What if he goes in to a house of a ghost, then he goes out before the person dies? Did he do anything wrong? Did he just violate the warning of the Rabbanan, don't go in? De Einzeh suggests Rav Shechter, based on earlier Achronim, Rav Elchanan, and others, De Einzeh betoras gzeira v'harchaka, shema yamos olav lepesa pisom. It's not just, oh, the person might die right away, but no. Right now, when the Kohen is in the house with a goses, he is in proximity to Misa. Because Rove goses in Lamisa, we hope not, but because Rove goses in Lamisa, that enough is a violation. Elisha ka ace hakoin over kvar ala iser. Viafilu yotzi labasov. Shalom mace ba'od hakoin azeh ba'ahalo. Mikamakom b'shai to over ala iser v'taras vadai. Va'asr lakoin liskari lamace. V'gamasr la liskari lamisha omid lamus. Afal gab to goses kachai. V'eno mitame et shiamus mamish. One example. Another example is a machlokas Ramam Raivin in Hilchos Nizirus. What happens if a nitma lamace pa'amim harbe? Somebody is tamim ace. A nazir is tamim ace. And the same day he's tamei, he goes back and he's metame himself again. Does he get another set of malchus? He's already tamei. He's tamei mace. He violated his naziris. And he becomes tamei again. Says the Rambam, in hisru bo al kol pam v'pam v'hu metame, lo ke al kol achas v'achas. He gets malchus for each tuma. Bamed varma murim bishen nitma upiresh v'chazer v'naga. If he went away, and then he touched. Avalam haya no geya b'mace. V'hadayin ha-meis b'yado. The Rambam says, if a person is touching a mace, v'noga b'meis acher, eno chayv ala achas. One, you're touching a dead body, A. So you touch the dead body, B, you're not doing anything more. That's the Rambam. And the Ravid says, the Rambam of Rav Yosef, he'll take a rabba, oldas rabba, b'chol tum of a tum, afilu shalom b'chiburin, eno chayv ala achas, hol v'tameihu. The Ravid says, no, once you're, even the other way from the Rambam, if you're tameh, even if you're not touching it, you're tameh. So you touch another dead body, doesn't make you more tameh. You're tameh mace already. So therefore the Ravid says, you're not going to get another malchus for touching a dead body, even if you're not touching the first dead body. That's the Ravid. What's the machlokas about? What's the svar of the Rambam? You are already tameh. So just because you become more tameh, you went into one cemetery this morning. What about the next day? So you start counting your seven days of Tara. So you're still tameh. Explains Rav Shechter, b'shuta nira davachi pligi. Divituma vituma biyom sheni. Dika tosefes tuma al tuma. So it does add an idea because now you cannot become tar for another day. That he says everybody would agree to. But on the same day, there's no tosefes tuma. But still it's a kohen that's miskarev l'tumas mace. Even though he's not touching the dead, once he's not touching the dead body anymore, if you go to another dead body, that is the root iser. That's the machlokas Rambam and Ravid. What is the gather iser tumas kohenim? Dim nefarish is a pasuk kepshuto lenefesh lo yitame ba'amav im kibbuk hai gavna leki yisura shrei b'maga oda hashte inenem is tami l'meis aval im nitvoshe gather iser hu shalol lehiskarev l'meis v'inu in yikal tumas meis it still could be yasser. And what else might be included in this? The rokeach. Probably the most well-known rokeach. We're going to make it well-known right now. The rokeach quoted in the Shach. Can an ashes kohen who's pregnant go into a cemetery? That's the svek sveka of the rokeach. Anashis Kohen is allowed to go into a cemetery. Only male kohanim are mitzuva on tumas meis. Not female kohanim. But what if she's pregnant? Can she go in? So the rokeach says, yes, svek sveka. Maybe it's a girl. And even if it's not a girl, maybe it's not a bar kayama. And therefore, svek sveka lakula. This is a huge discussion in the Achronim. It's a great fertile ground for a lot of lumdis, for svek sveka, for tumas meis, for a lot of different discussions. So explains the Rav Shechter quotes the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer that explains the rokeach da'af. The issue might be da'af in achinami deleka tuma al ha'ubar b'knisas ha'aim la'ohel ha'meis. Even though there might not be tuma per se, mikol makom da'aser la'kohen lehiskarev la'meis. So you might be putting this ubar into a situation of kirva, even though there's no toma. That might also be behind it. Again, there's a lot of other examples. Rachmana l'tzlan, a for srufim. What if you have ashes that were cremated? Rachmana l'tzlan, you know, in Yana Diyoma. So says the says Rav Shechter there, that also might relate to his karvus lames. It might, the first paragraph of the whole discussion is that it might work out better for, in terms of the kohanim in the airplanes. Because there might be an issue of, when you're above the clouds, you're not in. There's no hiskarvus there at all. Even if there's if there's no tumah, there's no hiskarvus either because you're above the rakia. Okay, maybe we'll get to that tosfos in the mems. Okay, we continue. Hanichnas la'aretz ha'amim, and then you put it down. You have to be a put it down after you go nichnas la'aretz ha'amim. The only issue is if you put it down. That's what you have to say. Right, you put it on the edge. You have to say you put it on the edge. Okay, weiter. So we said that machlokas in our mission is the same machlokas about Oel Zarek. Says the Gemara, 1 minute, Vahad, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. But didn't we learn in a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'arvin l'kohen tahar, b'truma tahora, or ma'are for a kohen tahar, with truma tahora, b'kever, if the truma is on a grave. How does that work? The truma that is tahar is on a grave, and that could be a good eruv for a kohen. So hechi azil b'shita tevo migdal. How must he get there without becoming tummy himself? How is he allowed to get there in one of these shita tevo migdals? So that's what, like we said, Rabbi Yehuda holds Oel Zarek is shmei Oel. Says the guy, 1 minute, v'hakivon da'achta itmelei. 1 minute, but the truma becomes tummy when it's on the kever, and therefore you're not allowed to eat truma tumeya anyway. So the Gemara says, no, b'shalo hukshara. It was never hukshar l'kabal tumah. As we know, any food that does not become wet after it is detached from the ground, if it's something that grows from the ground, cannot become tameh, even if a dead body goes on top of it. It has to be hukshar l'kabal tumah, right? They were in the parshias, of tumah v'tahara. The end of last week's parsha. Osheni losha b'mei peros. Or it was a food that got wet, but with mei peros, meaning not one of the seven liquids, not one of the yad shachadams, as the Mishnah says in the last perek of Maseches Machshirin. So therefore, the food is not tameh. So the hechi ma'isila. So how are you going to pick it up? Right? Yeah, you're going to have to go out of your box to pick it up. No, how is he going to get it? No, bipshute kli'etz, deloma kabli tuma. He's going to use long wooden flat boards. Pshute kli'etz, in order to pick it up, and that's going to go in the airspace, and flat wooden boards are not mekabel tuma. Aiva haka ma'ahil, but isn't there going to be a tumas ohel created? What kind of a tumah is Oel? Rashi quotes, we had this sugi in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos. If a Kohen or anyone is holding a certain item that creates an Ohel, if he's holding it, so then the tumah's Ohel is going to go from the tumah through the cover to his side. Right? So even by holding the Pshutei Kli'etz, isn't that going to create a tumah? Assuming, Rashi says, you have a width of a tefach of the Pshutei Kli'etz. So that's the answer. The Maisila Achori, you just hold the edge of it, the tip of it. Some have the gears of Achude, not Achore, which means it's not a Tefach wide. So therefore, the Tumas Oel will not go through. Either way, this is the case where Rabbi Yehuda says that you could have the Truma on the Kever, he won't become Tameh, the food didn't become Tameh. Wonderful. He stopped there for a minute. Tosfos has an important discussion here. Tosfos has 2 days here. In Dibur Maskel B'Pshutei Kli'etz. So we know that principle comes up in many different places. A flat wooden kli is not mekabel tumah. A flat metal kli is mekabel tumah. Because a flat metal tray is usable. A flat wooden kli is not. What about midrabanan? Is it tumah midrabanan at least? It's not tumah daraisa. So that's Tosus' discussion here. He assumes yes. He assumes that in certain cases it's going to be. He says it's mashma from our Gemara that it's not mekabel tumah at all. That's what it's mashma. Mashma d'lo makabli tuma filo midrabanan. And that's what it sounds like from Maseches Kelim, as quoted in Maseches Shabbos, and a number of places. But he finds other places that it is. So Tosfos has 2 answers. Look on the first wide line of Tosfos, right in the middle. V'ri mefarish, d'kli'et shehem rechavim ke'ein daf, v'roi laniach aleim chafatzim, gazri rabanan alayo tuma, v'shem d'damu l'makabli kli'et. If it's a flat tray that's made to be a tray, it's a wooden tray that's usable, and it is a tefach. It's wide enough like a daf, so it's going to be makabel to a midrabanan because it looks like a metal kli. It's the same type of usage. But if they're skinny, then they're going to be tar even midrabanan. That's one idea. Number two suggests Tosfos, third line, the daf shel nachtomim v'chayotzi bazeh shem shimushi adam u'mishamshin shimushi adam gazer rabanan ben tuma. If they're made as a kli, forget wide, even if they're skinnier, but if they're made as a kli, that's also Mekabel to Amid Rabbanan. So most of our wooden kalim are shaped, and they're not flat. Let's say wooden spoons for salad that we have. They're makabel tuma, because that's made like a kli. What if it was, if something that's a kli that's totally flat? So that midaraisa is not going to be makabel tuma if it's made out of wood. But Tosa says midrabanan, it will be. Important discussion in Tosas on a drabanan level. Says the Gemara, ihachi naya my time drabanan. So Rabbi Yehuda is the only one that allows this truma on the kever, because you're able to get to it. What about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan don't agree with this Hechi Timsi of Rabbi Yehuda. You go in a box and you use a wooden kli and you just use the edge of it. So the Rabbanan don't argue. What do you mean? So it is accessible. So why would the Rabbanan not allow you to use this? Kasavri aser liknos bayis beisurei hana'a. The answer is because this kever is giving you benefit. Why? Because this kever is your makom shvisa for Shabbos. You're getting benefit from this area. You're not allowed to get benefit from anything related to the dead body. You're not allowed to get benefit from a kever. So therefore, that's why the Rabbana would argue. You're still getting benefit. It's a somewhat of an indirect benefit, but you're not allowed to get benefit from Isurei Hana in this way. Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin, which is the source, which quotes the source for the Isur Hana from Mace or Tashmishe Mace, right, which this has to do with the sugya of organ transplants and the like. The Nafkalami Sanhedrin, Rashi goes, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's Xera Shava, Vatamas Sham Miriam. Miriam died there, and the word Sham is also used by Egla Arufa, just like an Egla Arufa, the anonymous corpse and the killing of the calf there, is Aser B'Hana. So to all maces is Aser B'Hana. That's the source for mason being Aser B'Hana. We discussed in the past where the Har Tzvi has the fascinating tshuva relating to, do you say information is Hana'a? Information, meaning scientific, let's say I'm not going to, you know, do anything to the mace, but I'm just going to learn about science or about, you know, medicine from the mace. So just information, is that called separate from the Isra of Nivol HaMace, which is a separate Isra? What about Hanam and HaMace? So he has a discussion about that already in the 1930s. So what about the Rabbanan? So why don't they say you come to Kever, your heir of there? Because you will be getting benefit from the mace. Mechlal. So the Gemara says, Mechlal, Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mutter. What, Rabbi Yehuda says it's Mutter to get benefit from a mace? He argues on that Xera Shava? No. Kasavar mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu. Huge sugya. Rabbi Yehuda holds mitzvos were not given for benefit. Mitzvos are not defined as pleasure-giving actions. Obviously, at least in this world. Las and Lavo, where the Gemara says, Lamacha l'kabel scharan. So they are all about reward. But that's only in Las and Lavo. But in this world, in Olam Hazeh, mitzvos aren't defined as pleasure-giving. That's the sugya, mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu. And therefore, it's not a problem in this case, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The source that has to be quoted whenever mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu come up is a Rashi. Rashi and Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean, mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu? Rashi quotes, lo lehenos nitnu li Yisrael, lihios kiyumam lahem hana'a. It's not a hana'a that's given. Ela lo'ol al tzavarehem nitnu. It's given to be a burden. It's given to be an ol. Right, and O Malchus Shemayim, and O Mitzvos. That's how mitzvos are defined. Yes, we should love to do mitzvos, but it's defined halachically as an O. If you look in the Margolius Hashas, in the Sefer of Chassidus Shavartz on different Mesechtes, there he quotes the Chedush Yarim and says, but 1 minute, but don't you get Hana'a by removing the O from you? Right, you have an ol on you, so the second I remove the ol, I get benefit. So it is lehenos denu. It is an ol, but every time I do a mitzvah, I'm getting benefit. Now the answer is the ol never stops. Right, if I do a mitzvah, what, so I'm finished? There's never a time when I'm finished, my avoda, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to tell me mana. That's true, but I finish one ol, but there's another ol that's waiting for me. And that's fine. I finish Shacharis, okay, but what do I do now? I have the ol of acting like a good Jew out in the workplace. And then I have an ol of acting like a Jew on my lunch break. And then I have an ol of that. It's just from one ol to the other. That's what life's about. Right? In Lucha ben Chorin, the ultimate free person is the one who always has the ol. But that's why you remove it by doing the mitzvah. The answer is you don't. You just get the next ol. Period. I think I'm going to daf here tonight. Baruch Hashem was going to be on mitzvah al nezer related to Talmud Torah and other related issues, makaris that we've spoken about various times in the past related to the simcha of Talmud Torah. But maybe we'll try to catalog and put all them together in a in the shir. Continuing, Ella Hada Amar Rava Mitzvahs Lav Lehenas Nitnu Lema Kitanoi Amar Lashmaitza. So 1 second, are we supposed to assume now Rabbi Yehuda holds Mitzvahs Lav Lehenas Nitnu, and therefore you're allowed to have your Erev Tchum on the Kever, while the Rabbanan argue? So is this issue a machlokas Tanoim? There are some Tanoim that hold Mitzvahs Lehenas Nitnu. Is that how we're supposed to understand this? So the Gemara says Amar Lacha Rava. No. If you would hold, machlokas we're going to get to later on in the Mishnayos, why are you allowed to make an Erev Tchum? Am I allowed to make an Erev Tchum for any reason? You know, I want to go see a friend in the next town on Shabbos. So I'm going to put the Erev Tchum in the middle so I can extend my Tchum to go to the city that's 3,000 amos away from my city. Am I allowed to do that just for a friend? A Dvar Rishus? Or is it limited to a Dvar Mitzvah? I'm going to go to a shir. I'm going to, you know, go to any type of Dvar Mitzvah. So is it limited? That's a machlokas, as we're going to see later on. So Rava says, if you hold, if they hold that you in Marvin El Dvar Mitzvah, that's a Kuli Alma Mitzvah, Zav Lehenos Ninu. If you did it for a mitzvah in this context, then everybody would agree that you could have your Erev Tchum on the Kever. Meaning everybody holds, Mitzvah, Zav Lehenos Ninu. The machlokas here is whether what you're doing is a mitzvah. Mar savar ein ma'arvin ela lidvar mitzvah. One opinion is that you're only allowed to do it lidvar mitzvah, and therefore that's Rabbi Yehuda mitzvah zalvahenu zenu. Well, mar savar, you know what they're a button hold? Ma'arvin afil lidvar rishus. You can even ma'ariv even for a dvar rishus, and therefore it's not a mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lahenu zenu. This might be related, but lav dafka. We mentioned months ago, but mentioned it again. We haven't mentioned it in this Masechta. It's Machlokas with the Rambam and the Ravid. Do you make a bracha when you sit in the Erev Tchum? You make a bracha, it's a Machlokas. It's a discussion. We'll have to come back to that. But in terms of the bracha of Eruv, Erev Tchum, Erev Chatzeres, we'll have to get to when they argue and when they agree. We'll have to come back to that. Good. Question. Ask the Avnei Miluim. Ask the Ksos in his commentary on Eben Ezer. We hadn't had an Avnei Miluim in a long time. Says the Avnei Miluim in Simen Chaf Ches. He's quoting our Gemara. The Avnei Miluim is bothered and says, there's a machlokas. What's the machlokas about why you're allowed to make an Erev Tchum? That's in terms of the motivation. Why are you doing this? Are you doing this to be able to do a mitzvah afterwards or to do a Dvar Rishus afterwards? But the Erev itself, isn't that a mitzvah? Isn't that the halachically mandated action? The Lidvar Mitzvah or Lidvar Rishus, that's what your motivation is and what you're doing it for. But the act itself, what difference does that make? Even if you're doing a Lidvar Mitzvah, it shouldn't make a difference. And he gives an example. The Mishnah, the Gemara says in Masechas Rosh Hashanah, if I'm going into a mikvah, I'm jumping into a mikvah. Let's say I was no der hanah from the mikvah. I'm not allowed to get benefit from the mikvah. You know what the Gemara says? I'm allowed to go in the winter. Why? Because it's freezing. And mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu. But what do you mean? You're going to become tari afterwards. You're going to be able to eat a karban and truma. No, you don't look at that afterwards. You don't look at the results. You look at this act. Forget the results. Say, as Avnei Miluim, what's the Gemara talking about here? So what if it's ma'arvin l'dvar mitzvah? Isn't that just afterwards? And therefore, it shouldn't make a difference why you did it in the first place. He quotes the our Gemara, aval... You have to separate the action from the later result. Even though the tefillah allows you to become tahar, so maishna me'ariv, why if you're going to say it's l'dvar mitzvah, it is Asur, if it is Lidvar Mitzvah and Lidvar Rishus. Or he says, Shochet, he says, Shochet Besakin Shal Akum. The Asur Abahema, quotes another example. So this is the question that the Avnei Miluim asks. There's a beautiful answer given by the Oneg Yontif. The Oneg Yontif, in Simon Samach Aleph, quotes, Mishum, De Bishar Mitzvos, or the Gemara talks about using a sandal of Avodah Zarah for Chalitza. Another example that the the Gemara gives, right? That the, it says that you're allowed to do that, right? Sando, the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos, Sando shall Isuri Hanoim Chalzuba Achalisa Kshera, because the mitzvah is Avol Hanos Inu. But you're getting Hanoi afterwards. So why? The question is again, why does our Gemara say it's significant that you're going to get the Hanoi afterwards? Masha'enkein, in the case of mikvah, and in the case of chalitza, it doesn't make a difference that you're getting Hanoi afterwards. Right now, this is not defined as Hanoi. So Lonely Yantav has a beautiful chiluk. He says, by other mitzvahs, by chalitza and tevila, the mitzvah isn't really doing anything active. It is just releasing a problem. By chalitza, there is a zika that is connecting you to the yavam, and the chalitza removes the zika. That's it. Or when it comes to tevila, you are in a state of tumah. The mikvah removes the state of tumah. Memela, it's okay. It didn't do something active for you. It removed the problem. Masha'enkein here, there's a kinyan shvisa. There's a kinyan shvisa. By doing this, it's active. So everything afterwards is mitzuruf to that act. I'm kona my shvisa, and memela, it's all connected. It didn't just remove something. So that's why what happens afterwards is going to be connected to the act of the kinyan shvisa itself. We're going to get to this, another riot to this on Amud Beis, but that's the beautiful chilek of the Oneg Yantif between chalitza and tevila versus our Gemara of setting an Erev Tchum. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, where are we? Ella, ha, I'm sorry, Ella ha, da Amar of Yosef. Ein ma'arvin. So what did we just say? Everybody agrees mitzvahs al v'hedos enu. The machlokas is whether you're ma'arvin l'dvar mitzvah or l'dvar rishus. Elahada amar Rav Yosef ein ma'arvin l'dvar mitzvah lema katanoi amar l'shmaitza. So 1 second. So when Rav Yosef says you can only make an erev tchum for a dvar mitzvah, so that's a machlokas tanoim? So the Gemara says no. Rav Yosef would say otherwise, because nobody wants to say that his opinion is only according to one Tana. So Amar lecha Rav Yosef de kule alma ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah. Now Rav Yosef would say everybody agrees you're only ma'ariv l'dvar mitzvah. U de kule alma lav lehenos enu. Okay, so what's the machlokas about? Everybody agrees lav lehenos enu. Everybody agrees you're only ma'ariv l'dvar mitzvah. So why would anybody say that it is allowed here, right? If it is not allowed. Right, it's l'dvar mitzvah, but l'dvar lehenos enu. So why wouldn't it be a problem? Why would it be a problem? Ubahaka miflagi mar savar kivan to kanale eruv lo nichale demintera. Rabbi Yehuda holds: once you made the eruv when Shabbos started, you don't really care what happens to the eruv. You don't really care what happens. Right, you got your kinyan shvisa at that moment of banish mashis. You're finished. So you are not getting any lingering hana'ah from this kever. You have no reason. You don't focus on it. Umar Savar, no. Nichale Demintra. I'm still interested in this kever doing its job. Di Yitzrach Achalei. What if I need food? What if I run out of food? I'm going to want to take it. So therefore, that's the Rabbanan. Because forget the act of Kinyan Shrisa. You still are getting continual benefit, and therefore, that's why it's a problem. Okay.
Isn't there anything that if it gets lost? Or if it's
we're going to talk about that, if it gets lost. But theoretically, right now, you still want it in the continuation. It didn't get lost. Right, you might want to eat it afterwards. Might want to eat it right then.
But you're interested in having it kept.
You're not actively not interested in having it. So we're going to talk. We'll relate back to that when we get to those mishnayos. You see Rashi on the last Rashi. Kivan dekarnalei eruv beinashmasha sulo ichbas lebenitiruse vakanias eruv inami nicha lelavanam mishum the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, and then after that, you don't really care about it. We'll have to see if it does get lost. Lamaisa, you're right. When is the crucial moment of its getting lost? Okay, says the next mishnah. The next mishnah, similar mishnayos appear in a few places in Shas. We had it in Brachas. We'll have it here, and the same group of food items are always put together. Ma'arvin, what type of food are you allowed to use for your Erev? Ma'arvin b'dmai, you're allowed to use dmai, which is produce that you are not sure whether all the trumas and maisers were taken off of it. You know truma gadola was taken off of it, because amei ha'aretz are scared of truma gadola. But maiser rishon, they're not so makpidan. They don't realize that in the maiser rishon is trumas maiser, which is also misa b'dei shamayim. So, but you're allowed to use that. Why? Because Rov Amei Aretz are Ma'aser. Most take off their proper tithes. It's a Chumrah. So really, Meikar Adin, as we'll see, it is Mutter for some people. Uba Ma'aser Rishon Shinelo Trumaso. And Ma'aser Rishon that had its Truma taken off. Trumas Ma'aser. So we'll have to see in the Gemara what the Chiddush of each of these are. And as the Gemara says, always. Uba Ma'aser Sheni Ve'Hekdash Shiniftu. Ma'aser Sheni, money that you have, or Hekdash that was Nifta, now it's Chulin. Okay, so what's the chiddush? We'll see. V'ha-kohanim b'chala. Or on the side it says betruma. V'ha-kohanim b'chala. Kohanim are allowed to use chala because again, that's edible for them. Ava, that's, so those are all mutter to use for an erev. Ava lo b'tevel. One cannot use tevel. Right, so that's totally untithed. Veloba Maisa Rishon Shanola no Truma so. Maisa Rishon that still has Truma Gadola in it. Veloba Maisa Shani Vektish Shalom Niftu. Or Maisa Shani Hektish that were not Nifta, all of those are usher to eat, and therefore, those cannot be used for your Erev. Rashi has an important Ha'ara here on the last line. Rashi says, V'af al gav d'matzi parik lehu, even though it is within your power to redeem it. What do you mean, lo nifta? But you can redeem it. And usually, many times in halacha, we find the principle of biyado. If something is biyado, we'll trust the person about something. He'll have a certain nemanus. So even though it's biyado here, hashtami lo mifra. But lamaisa, you go by lamaisa here. Lamaisa, you didn't redeem it, and therefore you can't use this for your erev. You can't use hektish, you can't use maisa sheni, vichulu. And the meiri here adds in an interesting line. And even if you did redeem it, panim chadashos ba'ulakan. It's a new status. It's not what it is now. And therefore, right now, this is not what you're going to use for your Erev. The Tosas read also here as an important Ha'ara for general biyado issues. You only say biyado or ho'il if it's roi for somebody right now, just not for you. If it's roi for others, but if it's not roi for anybody, right now, Tevel and Hector, it's not right for anybody, so that's why you don't say ho'il. Ho'il, it's chazi for this, it's chazi for that, you only say that when it's chazi for somebody else. That's the Tosas Ritzara here. So, the Gemara says, we'll go through each one again. Demai ha'lo chazi lei. Why demai, third Masechet in Shas. Brachas peya demai. Why by demai, am I allowed to use it for Erev? I'm not allowed to eat it, lo chazi lei. Says the Gemara, migu di boy mafke lehu lenichse. No, but if I wanted to be mafkir all of my possessions, vahavi ani, and become an ani, the chazilei, and demai is mutter for aniim to eat. The Rabbanan did not institute their gzera for aniim. So hashanami chazilei, since I could do this, so, and I could become an ani, so hashanami chazilei. See here too, it is roi for me. So that's exactly the Tosfos Ritz point. Right? Tosfos Ritz says, you don't apply this principle by hektish, since you could redeem it. But so what? No, it's not roi for anybody in his present state. So you don't say this type of principle by hektish. Unlike demai, where it is roi in his present state. Since I can become an ani, so hashanami, it's good. It's not, as the Mishnah says, in the third parak in demai, ma'achilin es aniyim demai ves achsanya demai. You can give demai to aniyim or to achsanya guests. We had this earlier already in the Masechta. What does achsanya mean? Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Rambam says it means guests. People passing through a town. Rashi always says this means Jewish soldiers passing through towns. That's what Rashi says. Good. Amar Afuna, Tana, Beishame, Omrim, Enim, Achilas, Aniyim, Dmai, Vezaniyim, Dmai, Beisil, Omrim, Achilas, Aniyim, Dmai. So it's really Machloka, Beishame, Beisilel, and Beisilel allows you to eat, allows the Ani to eat Dmai. Good. There's an important, not to mention, if you want to look, there's an important Pnei Yeshua on the same Gemara in Brachas that appears in Brachas Ap Em Zayin. Feel free to look there. Ube Maisa Rishon Shenelo Chumaza Vechulu. Maisa Rishon that had its Truma Gadola taken off. Pshita, isn't that obvious? This is perfect. This is Maisa Rishon that doesn't have Truma Gadola in it. So Lo Tzricha Shekdima Beshibolin. The Chiddush is if a Levi jumped the gun. If a Levi went before Gemar Malacha to the field and took his Maaser Rishon before the Chiyuv of Truma Gadola set in. So Hikdimu B'Shibolan, he took it in the stalks, V'nitzla Mimenu Trumas Maaser, and he took off Trumas Maaser, like he was supposed to, V'lonin L'men Truma Gadola, but Truma Gadola was never taken off. U'kid Rebbe Yavo Amarei Shlakish, Dom Rebbe Yavo Amarei Shlakish, Maaser Rishon Hikdimu B'Shibolan, Patim Truma Gadola. This produce never reached the stage of Chiyuv Hafrasha Truma Gadola. And that's the Chiddush. Shenemar v'hari mosim imenu trumas Hashem maiser min ha-maiser. You shall take off truma from your maiser Rishon. Maiser min ha-maiser amati lecha v'lo truma gadola v'trumas maiser min ha-maiser. There's only one chiyuv of truma from maiser Rishon and not two. And that's why trumas maiser and not truma gadola. If the chiyuv of truma gadola already set in and never leaves. But here the Levi jumped the gun. Amalei Rav Papa Labaya, ihachi, if that's true, afilu ektima bekrinami. Oh, maybe we should say this even if the Levi took it after Gemar Malacha, after it was made into a pile, into a kri, after there already is a chiyuv of truma gadola. Shall we say that you have this drasha of only one truma and not two? Amar le no, alecha, amakra, about your case it says, mikol masro sechem tarimu, is called trumas Hashem, right? Plural. take off all of the trumas. So that's a case where you would take off both. Umay ra'isa, why do you split it this way? Why do you say that if the Levi jumped the gun, he only takes off one, but if he gets it later, he takes off two? Hi idgin, v'hai lo idgin. The answer is, in this case where it was later idgin, you already had, it was already made into dagon, it was already had gemar malacha, so the chiyuv of truma gedola already set in, so it never disappears. But in the case where he went earlier, so he could jump the gun, period. This chiddush connects to something that we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, and that is, we mentioned the idea that on a daraisa level, when something grows in the field, I'm allowed to go and eat it. I'm allowed to go and eat it under the tree. Why is that? Why am I allowed to eat something before Gemar Malacha? So the pashtus we said was, because it's not Tevel yet. Tevel only kicks in when there is Gemar Malacha. But we mentioned, if that's true, two things. Number one, the language of the Gemara doesn't sound so fluid. The Gemara says elsewhere, Maseches Brachos, Ein ha-tevel mischayev b'maisrus ad re'ias p'nei abayis v'chulu. It doesn't say, this isn't tevel. It says, Ein tevel mischayev b'maisrus. Number one, that's a linguistic problem. Number two, Arsugya, what's the issue? You're allowed to do a hafrasha before Gemara Malacha? If there's no shame tevel yet, what are you doing? You're allowed to prevent? So you might say yes. But the other way that we mentioned, based on the Pirshei Mishnayos and Trumos, that the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, was that it might be that Tevel, it's a shame Tevel right away. But the Chiddush HaTorah is that Tevel is only Asur Daraisa to eat Achilas Keva, not Achilas Arai. It's the only type of food that way. Every other type of food is either kosher or not kosher. Right? You can't like snack on treif. Right? It's kosher or not kosher. The chiddush by tevel might be that the Torah says tevel is only usher as achilas keva, not achilas arai, on a daraisa level. And therefore, it's a shame tevel right away, and that's why a fresher might work. Okay. Viter. Says the Gemara, ubemeiser sheni vehektish eniftu, pshita, that's also obvious. Meiser sheni hektish that was already redeemed. So lo tricha, shenasan azakev, lo nasan azachomesh. The chiddush is where you only gave the principal, but you didn't give the extra 25% that you were supposed to give. In halacha, what's called chomesh? It's called chomesh because after you add it, it's 1/5, but it's 25%. The kamash malan, the ain chomesh ma'akev. And the chiddush is that the chomesh is not ma'akev. Good. Avalo betevel, pshita. So obviously you can't use tevel. That's totally asur daraisa to eat. Lo tzricha betevel tavel midrabanan. The chiddush is if it's only tevel midrabanan. Kigon shezara ba'atzah sheino nakuv. If you had it growing in a flower pot that did not have a hole, so it's on the bottom. So therefore, it is only growing. It's only chayiv in trumas and meisers drabanan. So that's the chiddush. Let's finish the Mishnah. Then I just want to make a comment on tevel. V'lo b'meiser rishon shelo nila trumaso pshita. That's also obvious. There's trumas meiser in here. Of course, it's aser. Lo tzricha shekdimu b'kri, but not lemenu trumas meiser lo nila lemenu trumas gedola. The chiddush is the case that we said before, that you are makdim b'kri. So there's a chiyuv of truma gedola already. So ma'o the tema kid amar le'er pavel abayi, you might have had the havamina all, like we asked before. Maybe there's only one chiyuv of truma. Trumas meiser is all you need to take off. Kamash malan kidushani lay. Kamash malan, as we answered, no. Once there's gemar malacha, so then the chiyuv of truma gedola never disappears. If it's not redeemed and it's asur to eat, it's asur. Lo tzricha shepadon v'lo padon kihil chasan. You redeem them, but not properly. Right? You know how? Meiser shepado agava simon. Meiser you redeemed with a coin which did not have a form on it. Rachmana amar v'tzarta kesef sheishal of tzura. You have to use certain types of coins for meiser, pidyon meiser sheni. Hektish, shechilo agav karka. Hektish, you were machalel onto karka. And we know based on a patek, Rachman Amar, v'nazan hakesef akamlo. We know that you have to give kesef. Right, Tosas points out in a few places that's not a pasuk anywhere in the Torah. It's a made up pasuk. Putting two pasukim together, v'nazan hakesef akamlo. But we quote that. That is the drasha. Just one other aura. There is a fascinating machlokas between the Rashba and the Ritva. The Ritva argues on his Rebbe here about Tevel Tavol Midrabanan. Tevel Tavol Midrabanan. Says the Rashba. The Rashba has to connect this to his Shita at the end of Maseches Yevamos. What is the Rashba says? The Rashba says this on yesterday's daf. Remember yesterday we spoke about Bishama Beis Hillel, about making an Eruv for Yom Kippur? Well, it's great for a Katan on Yom Kippur, the Gemara said. It's great for a Katan on Yom Kippur. Says the Rashba. Klomar. Hoil v'roi l'ktanim, shema achilin osam b'yadayim. My shita, says the Rashba, is that you're allowed to give children non-kosher food. Midaraisa. Machil no so biyadayim. That's a machlokas at the end of Yivamis. The Rashba says, you're allowed to machil biyadayim. The ode. And then he adds, Shaha eruv eno asr mitzad atzmo, ela de iser hayom revia alei. And also, Yom Kippur, is that inherently that his food is an iser chefsa? No. There's an iser gavar for me to eat it. So that's why it's more mako, and you could give it to a child. Because it's just an Isser Gavra, says the Rashba. The Eina Dome Letevel Tavel Midarabanan, says the Rashba. Don't compare the Yom Kippur line, where it's Roy, to this case, where everybody says you can't use this for your Erev. Why? The Avagav de Efsher de Ma'achilon Osam Biyadayim Lektanim. Because even though I say you're allowed to give a child even an Isser Chefsa de Rabanan, Ho of a Lesbe Isser Elemi Devrayim, Mikomakam Harayu Asr Mitzan Atzmo. The Rashba has a fascinating distinction. The Rashba says, regarding Eruv, there's a difference between Chefsa and Gavra. Regarding Ma'achil and Oso B'Yadayim, says the Rashba, I hold you can give a Kohen anything. Even an Isser Chefsa, Midrabanan, you're allowed to give to a child. But regarding Hilchas Eruv, there's a chiluk between Tevel, which is an Isser Chefsa D'Rabanan, versus Yom Kippur, but for a Katan, which is an Isser D'Rabanan, which is an Isser Gavra D'Rabanan. That is the Rashba. And the Ritva says, I don't know what my Rebbe is talking about. He doesn't quote it by name. He just says, V'shamina mehacha, says the Ritva, the mehacha, the kivan shei ma'arvin betavol tavol midrabanan. He says, you can't use tavol tavol midrabanan. He says, kedisa l'kaman, shasal achilu b'yadayim l'ktanim, di'ilo, you can't give tavol tavol midrabanan. You can't give it to. You can't give a kid on Yom Kippur either. It means right before Yom Kippur. He says ve'elomar the shiny tavol shu'asr chefsa tabakula sugi and lo mafalgina b'hamilsa. Nobody makes such chilukim. Ugdarminim hacha kishem shemarvin lagadol b'yom kippurim kadam arvin lanaz b'yayin v'la'afuke miksas rabanan. Like my Rebbe shehem svurin de isurei derabanan mutar la'achilon l'ktanim b'yadayim. The Zaino. No, you don't have such distinction. You can't give it to a kid. You can't give this to a kid. Anyways, that's the Ritva arguing on the Rashba here, but the Rashba has that chiluk. The chiluk between Eruv and Machil and Osel Biyadayim. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but then we'll start tomorrow with the next Mishnah of Shlichus by Eruv Tchumen. Okay, we'll stop here.